I have two daughters, 16 and 19. So my life is pretty much just pure bliss at this point. The 16-year-old thinks I'm an idiot, and the 19-year-old knows I'm an idiot. It's a progression. The one good thing about having teenagers is you can speak to them in complete sentences. When they were small, they're only going to hear the first three words you say when they're little. So you got to talk in those idiotic three-word parent sentences all day. Hey, hey, hey! Stop that now. Stop it now. I said now. Yes, you will. Yes, I will. Yes, we will. Turn it up. Turn it down. Turn it off. Shut the door. Shut the fridge. Shut your face. Ask your mom. Go to bed. Go to sleep. Clean your plate. Have a bath. Pick it up. Put it down. Don't touch that. I said no. No, I said. What did I say? Say that again. I dare you. I hate you.
True, how true, how true. Hey, it's time for our Ride in the Spring Text to Win statewide contest now. Your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway, as well as grand prizes that include a bike, blender, even a patio love seat. All right, this hour's keyword is, I'm going to say it like the guy on Password used to say, the keyword is bike. Remember that? And then he used to, Alan Ludden handed out the two, the keyword is bike. So that's our keyword. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station, WRJN, that would be, and use the text button to send the keyword bike for your chance to win the statewide contest. Again, the keyword is bike, B-I-K-E. Write it down. Find WRJN on the Civic Media app and use the text button to send the keyword right now. You'll have until the end of the hour to do it. Good luck. Again, the keyword is bike. Download the Civic Media app. Send it in. You can win that Chula Vista Resort overnight stay. I was just at Chula Vista Resort at Christmas time. We had a big Christmas party there, an overnight stay. I loved it. So why don't you enjoy it too? So get that out. Get to the Civic Media app. Download it wherever you download your apps, the Apple Store, wherever you get your apps. And find WRJN and put the keyword bike. Bike. You have until the end of the hour to do it, all right? Showed Jim Messier and Carol Gianforte the picture of that kid, Michael. I told the story. They didn't hear the story. Real quickly, in first grade, we were in school, and this kid, who was a normal kid, just started laughing maniacally. Not loud, just going, and he wouldn't stop laughing. And Miss Healy told him to stop laughing because he's disrupting the class. And he wouldn't stop laughing. Going, so she said, Michael, go to Mr. Dodd's, our principal. Go to Mr. Dodd's office. He wouldn't go. Just kept laughing. And this was so out of character for this kid. And so she said, Michael, go. And he wouldn't go. So she picked him up by the arm and he started kicking her in the shins over and over and over and over and over. And she was wearing stockings. You see the blood coming down her. He wouldn't stop kicking. And he's flailing. And all the kids are sitting there with our mouths open. We couldn't believe what we're watching. We didn't have a helper. She said, somebody go to get Mr. Dodd. Go get Mr. Dodd. So one of the kids ran down to the office. She took Michael, threw him in the closet, and locked the door. And he's kicking on the door. And so she's crying because her blood's coming down. And who's this? Is shocking. So Mr. Dodd came in. Mr. Dodd's like 6'5". Nice guy. I just spoke to him before he passed away to him. Nice guy. Anyway, he's flailing the whole time, legs flying, you know, kicking and screaming, and Mr. Dodd drags him down. We never saw Michael again. Now, that was in 1961. Never saw Michael again. However, until yesterday, I told my daughter the story. She looked on Facebook and found him. Now, how can you make sure it's the same Michael? Well, Massapequa Park, and he graduated Catholic high school the same year I did. And you saw the picture. He looks roughly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's Michael. So I wanted to send my daughter said, why don't you contact him? I said, what am I going to say? What happened to you after you kicked the teacher and got thrown out of school?
Yeah.
It is curious. So I wanted to just put a text on there. I know what you did.
Oh, sinister.
There was a movie like that.
I know.
There was. Yeah. Yes.
And pretty soon I'll have somebody at my door with a hockey mask.
Yeah.
kicking your door.
And you were kicking my door with a machete, and I don't need that.
Yeah.
I am curious to know what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh. All right, Kettle Jim Forte and Jim Messier here. People love this segment. We're reminiscing about Racine. And I love this, and people love it. And before we leave today, we've got to tell you about Carol's book. Well, first, let's get to this. This is your handwriting I'm trying to read off of now. You write just like my mother. My mother had the same exact handwriting. You're one of the few people left on the planet that writes in cursive.
Oh, and it's a combination.
That's
I'm
how
afraid.
We were taught.
We can tell you what you're supposed to say about us, Don.
Yeah, why don't you start off? Why don't you start the whole segment? You don't need me.
Jim, start us off.
Okay. How Carol and I actually got together to talk about the old grocery stores. Carol wrote a story in the Journal Times called The Store. And I was there listening to her program at the library. And after the program, I suggested, well, why don't we get together? I have a lot of old grocery store memorabilia, you know, the giveaways, the freebies, things like that. So eventually we combined forces, and after I retired, we started our own little presentation. Our first one was at the library, and then we moved on to the Roma Lodge, and then we ended up at the Golden Rondell, where we had, maybe about 15 presentations there. Right, Carol?
There's been 15 of them already?
Not on grocery store.
I know.
All together.
My mother used to love those presentations.
Oh, I remember I remember you bringing her.
Yeah, and she's not from this area, but she loved them.
Oh.
Because some of the things you talk about are still from other people's towns.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same thing. You change the names a little bit around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Sure.
Ahead.
Yeah.
Well, when we pick grocery stores, you know, you might think, and we in a long time we did, really? And, of course, we found out that people did, in fact, love their grocery stores. And just lately, Jim and I were talking about this. It wasn't so unusual because, you know, it is a neighborhood. It was a neighborhood center of influence. And so if we weren't at school, Sunday at church, almost every other day, we were at the grocery store. So it was our center. Now, Jim is going to tell us a little bit about the lecture on this, but also my story, the story that was the store a long time ago in the Racine Journal Times. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read just a couple short excerpts from this, not even starting from the beginning, but this will kind of set the mood for how Jim and I got started in thinking about stores. As a matter of fact, I was enjoying a summer afternoon right in my own backyard, sitting high up in our big chestnut tree, peering down over the neighborhood through the huge leaves, when an exciting possibility presented itself. Seeing my mother come out of the back door to stand near the tree, she called up to me, "Carol, I want you to go to the store." The store. Why, that meant Willie's. What could be better than going to Willie's? With my mother's grocery list in hand, soon I was headed to the end of our 1400 Carlisle block, turning left on Albert, crossing Blake Avenue, and in another half block as an 8-year-old, I was standing at 1620 Albert Street, Quadracci's. Peaches and tomatoes and orange crates were displayed outside in the shade underneath the awnings, but Willie, standing in his white apron near the front door with his wide smile, greeted me by name, as he did all of his customers, including the neighbor kids. Mrs. Quadracci, Sylvia, we knew, greeted me as well, and customers called from the aisles to each other in friendly fashion. What was best on that day, however, were the words my mother had written at the top of her grocery list. Willie, will you please send home with Carol 1 quart homogenized milk and a treat for her? A treat for me? Mother was always so nice. But picking out just the right one was going to take time. Should I pick gum? Oh, how about the penny candy? But maybe ice cream. Then again, I liked so many candy bars. Finally, though, I was on my way home with our milk and my treat, ready to tell Mother all about the store. I hope that kind of gives us the picture of us as kids going to the store.
You know, and this is funny. My sister-in-law reminded me of this the other day when I spoke to her. When I grew up, we used to call it the food store where I came from. And you know, and when I first moved to Wisconsin, what's the food store? The supermarket. They said, you call it the food store? I said, yeah, that's where I come from. We call it on my planet, we called it the food store. But they don't do that here. They call it the supermarket. Yeah,
right.
We're going to the food store.
Yeah. Well, how times have changed, Don. Oh, by the way, I have to say that we almost had a different subject today. I grabbed the wrong file on the way out, and I grabbed the file on our dishwasher. And I was already in the car realizing I grabbed the wrong file, so we're going to have our dishwasher repaired. So we almost had to talk about dishwashers today. However.
And I left my stuff at home, too. Great minds think alike.
Well, like I said, times have really changed when it comes to grocery shopping. Now we shop at what? Festival, Walmart, Woodman's, Pick and Save, The Pig. And as I see it, it's a lot more complicated now than what it used to be. Parking is, you have to park a long distance away. You have to deal with the crowds, and you can't find what you're looking for. At least I can't. I always bring back the wrong thing. Long checkout lines, not very pleasant. But it used to be every neighborhood had its own corner grocery store. For example, if you know where 17th and Grand Avenues are, there were 10 stores within a 4-block radius.
Oh, my.
The 1100 block of Villa Street, that's just a little bit north of St. Cat's, had 4 stores alone on 1 block.
Oh, my.
And most were mom-and-pop type stores, family-owned for generations. And if a couple words could describe them, it would be long hours and hard work. Now, there was no need to stock up on groceries back then. You just went to the store when you needed things. Freezers and refrigerators weren't readily available until after World War II. So the grocery store was like an extension of your kitchen pantry, and only a short distance away. Now, in the old days, there were no shopping carts, no checkout lines, no crowds, and no traffic jams.
Hold it right there.
Yep.
Traffic jams. We'll continue with that in just a moment.
Okay.
Jim and Carol are here reminiscing about food stores, supermarkets. More coming up at WRJN.
Good morning, yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away, and suddenly it's hard to find the memories you left behind. Remember, do you remember?
We're talking about that with Jim Messier and Carol Gianforte. We're talking about the supermarkets growing up here in Racine, where you were. And they had shopping carts, obviously, and they had, Piggly Wiggly was the first supermarket in America. You knew that, right?
Yep, I'll be talking about that.
Yeah, the very first supermarket.
Yep.
And they just closed up one of their markets here.
Yes, the one on Washington Avenue.
Yeah, Ralph Malicki's.
And, you know, why did I feel bad? I was like,
Well, he was such a civic-minded backer of so many things in Racine.
I know, but right. I felt too. Terrible when they closed it. And I didn't shop there because it's not where I live. But
it
I
is
just,
sad to see a closing.
Yep. Anytime something closes,
it's sad.
Like, you know, George's closed on Main Street, but somebody else bought it.
Yeah, and we're so glad.
It's now called Encore, but it's there. Yeah. When something closed,
that's right.
You know, when they I passed Regency Mall and I saw the rubble.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. I'm like, I'm parked outside.
I don't think you were here, Don, but yes, in your past you were. The restaurant Totero's over on Main Street.
Oh yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, when that was closing, there was a line probably a block long. And now this might have been a rumor. Know. This might have been a rumor, but someone told me that lasagna was auctioned off for $250.
Well, maybe it was. I went online. That's when they used to serve lunch. You had to take what they served. You didn't get them.
Yeah, you went to the kitchen.
Yeah, you have no menu. This is what we're serving today. Yeah. Like it or not.
Yeah.
Let's continue talking about food. Let's talk more about the markets here.
In the old days, when you went grocery shopping, you gave the clerk a list of what you needed, and he would get it for you. Or you simply phone in the order, and he would have it delivered. And these were the days when your doors would be unlocked. The delivery boy would just go in, like the milkman, and just drop everything off on your kitchen table. Now, Don, this is what you talked about. The first self-service grocery store was a Piggly Wiggly located in Memphis, Tennessee.
Is that where it was? Okay.
Right, back in 1916. And it was a Clarence Sanders, maybe some relative of Colonel Sanders. I don't know. He priced his goods individually and had a checkout line. Now, this idea really caught on, so other stores began to copy this new idea. Now, in Racine, we had a lot of competition for grocery stores. Almost every major street, like State Street, Washington Avenue, High Street, Douglas, to name a few, had many grocery stores. They were everywhere. And what were their services? Well, they offered credit. Now, during the Great Depression, this was very risky because you ran the risk of not being paid back. Others did not, and they were simply called cash stores. Some offered free delivery, usually by the owner's son who would pedal his bike or wagon and drop stuff off. Now, the larger stores began selling other things not associated with groceries, such as meats, bakery, liquor. And this was not a common practice back in the old days. They just kept getting bigger and bigger. I remember stopping at Cristiano's every Sunday after church for their Kappas glazed donuts. And they were just so good. Now, the stores kept getting bigger and bigger, which we all know. They had a bigger selection and many cheaper prices, of course, because they bought in bulk quantity. And some of the individual family-owned stores began to form groups to combat these chain stores by forming groups like IGA, which was the Independent Grocers Association, Leadway, United Cellrite, Clover Farm, and others. Oh, speaking of United Cellrite, I have in my collection an old sign, which is probably about 18 feet long and maybe 3 feet wide. And when I bought it, I was going to hang it above the garage door, but my wife wouldn't have anything to do with that, and I just can't understand why. I think it would add a lot of class to the house.
And that's the sad part. You can't understand why.
I know it. I know it. Yeah. But the chains began to replace the mom-and-pop type stores. You know them, the A&P, the National T, Kroger, Century, and they were eventually gone by the wayside. They offered cheap prices and they advertised a lot. Now, there were exceptions. A lot of stores, the independents, survived. Cristiano's, of course, Chopiak's, Wells Brothers Foods, Hathaway's on Taylor, Matranga's, Doss's, Nevin's, and a few more. Now, these stores were followed by the mega marts. They kept getting bigger and bigger. A funny story, I lost my wife at Woodman's once. I could not find her. It took over a half hour for me to locate my wife. The store was just so big.
That is too big.
Yes.
You can get, I could lose my wife in Pick and Save. And you can't use your phone in Pick and Save because there's no signal. And I'm like, where is she? I'm going down aisle after aisle in Woodman's. Yeah. It'll be like that song, the MTA, The Man Who Never Returned.
Yeah, never returned. That's right.
You could find me in the candy aisle. I'm great.
I know where to look for you then.
Yeah. But we all miss our corner grocery stores. That was really the social center of the neighborhood. That's where you met your friends, and if you had new neighbors, you'd probably meet them there. Life was a lot simpler back then. I think we lost a piece of Americana when they closed. And I think they were really the good old days when it came to grocery shopping. A lot of the old buildings are still around, by the way. Well, some were torn down. Others were boarded up, and they sit empty to this day. Some were repurposed into other businesses or even private residences. And some are still being used like grocery stores. Matranga's, Cristiano's are good examples. So, and now Carol will talk about some of the grocery stores she frequented.
Well, when we did our programs, starting at the library, Jim and I had a big surprise. You know, we turned to the 1955 telephone directory. Well, how many grocery stores were there of our neighborhood stores? Where were they? And so we copied two pages from the telephone directory, and we thought this would be a good handout for people, and maybe they would just put it in their pocket and actually throw it away at home. Well, what happened was people were engrossed to our surprise in this list. And so anyone listening, you could go to the library and you could get the 1955 telephone directory, because what I'm going to continue on saying is, I guess what happened...
Well, hold it right there, because we're going to take a quick break. But is this the directory you're talking about?
Yeah.
I have in my hand?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's correct.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
1955.
Yeah.
120 stores.
And my wife grew up in the... She grew up in Union Grove, but they always came to Racine for everything. So I have to ask her about that. Some of these, she'll remember. Hold on. Take a quick break here. It's 729 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed. Don't forget, our keyword today for Ride in the Spring is bike. Bike. Download the Civic Media app for your chance to win an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in the Dells. Just download the app wherever you need to get your apps. The Civic Media app. Go to WRJN and type in the keyword bike for your chance to win. All right, 729. Keep it here. WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refresh. Don't forget, you have until the end of the hour to get the Civic Media app. Download it on your phone or your computer, wherever you do your things. And look up WRJN on the Civic Media app. And the keyword is bike, bike, bike. The keyword is bike. Put that in there to win that Chula Vista Resort getaway and also the other prizes we have. Civic Media app, go download it where you get your apps. Look for WRJN, and the keyword is bike, this hour, bike, okay? Next keyword coming up at 10 a.m., a different one, and 1 and 3 p.m. today, too, okay? All right. Jim Messier and Carol Gianforte are here. We're reminiscing about Racine, the supermarkets, and they rudely interrupted Carol when she was in the middle of naming them. One you haven't mentioned, Red Owl. Remember Red Owl?
I don't think we had a Red Owl here.
You had it on Douglas Avenue.
Did we really?
You had a Red Owl because I was freaked out by the big owl looking down. And now I think it's not a Goodwill store, but it's one of those type stores now. Okay. It's right there on Douglas Avenue.
Huh.
Just north of Gould. It used to be there. If you're going north, it was on the left side of the road, Red Owl.
Hmm.
I was just freaked out by it when I saw it.
Well, yeah, just to show you that our research can have a few holes in it, Doug.
Flawed research.
Look at this. I just mentioned I'm looking at the two pages from the 1955 telephone directory. And right away, I went to Quadracci's. It is not here. And I learned that when we were first reviewing this again. And I guess we're missing a Red Owl. So somehow, this is not complete. But anyway, I think that our audience so surprised us by just getting into this directory. Why did they? I think, first of all, you would go and you would say, where's my store? Just like I did with Quadracci's, but not to see it. And then the address, like it really existed. And then the phone number. Now, I don't think most of us would know our grocery store telephone number, but they were all five digits, so the Melrose was not here being shown in 1955. And each first digit was either 2, 3, or 4. Well, just to pick out a few, Carlino's, that was at 637 High Street. Chappiak's, Harry and John, two relatives. One was at 625 17th Street. The other was at 238 Chicago Avenue. Cristiano's, 2047 Mead. And I'll add here that when we gave these presentations as time went on, Dolores Cristiano, now passed away, spoke about her store. Dazzy's was at 2700 Erie. This is near and dear to my heart. Genforti's, and they Americanized to Genfort. This was my husband's grandparents. 1403 Superior. With that phone, 47402. Matranga's. There were two, Prospect and Villa. And in our presentations, Rick Bonanno and Joe Pavkovich each talked about Matranga's. Polanski's, just in case you want to know, that was at 2501 Douglas. Nilica, 726 Yount. And Gene Nilica was a wonderful panelist also for us. And then Vito Capocius, who follows us quite closely, wrote me lately to say, don't forget, we have all these nationalities represented, but there were several Lithuanian stores, including Grimmel's on Carlisle. So anyway, believe it or not, this was our successful handout, bringing to proof, I guess, that these places really existed. Now, Jim, maybe...
Well, you know what? I tried to look up Red Owl on Douglas. I can't find it in the phone, but I don't know why I would have...
Yeah.
Where would I have seen a Red Owl?
Not here. I don't know of any Red Owl.
Well, maybe
Union Grove?
Yeah, perhaps.
Well, maybe it was in Milwaukee. I lived in the Brown Deer. You know what?
Could be.
I'm going to ask my wife, but maybe it was in Brown Deer.
Ask the authority. Right.
Yeah, ask the authority.
Yeah, because I am losing it.
Yeah.
So, maybe it was up in Brown Deer. You know, I think it was up in Brown Deer.
Well, then our research isn't so bad.
Yeah, well, we don't know.
Yeah.
You let us know.
The verdict, the jury's out on this.
Yeah. Report to us next month when we're back.
Yes. Maybe it wasn't Brown Deer. Maybe I'm losing it.
Yeah.
How about your favorite?
Well, my go-to store was, of course, Cristiano's. We lived on Kearney Avenue, and Cristiano's, by the way, it's still there under different ownership, of course. They were they're located on Kearney and 21st Street. Now, I remember going there almost on a daily basis. My mother would send me for bread, milk, canning supplies, baking supplies.
And I remember, she let you get a treat?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was in the second
nice
grade.
Mothers.
I was in the second grade when
I
was walking there.
You were a little brat saying, I want this, I want this, I want this.
I won't go unless I have a treat.
And
that's
then
right.
And a temper tantrum in the aisle.
No. My mother wouldn't tolerate that. I either walked or took my bike there. It was only 4 blocks away, and that's where our closest mailbox was, by the way. And the best part of going to Cristiano's was it was halfway to Snyder's Dime Store, where I would spend my allowance all the time.
Huh.
So Carol has some memories as well.
Well, I've already touched on Quadracci's. That was such a favorite. But I've also touched on the Genfort or the Ginforti grocery store. Now, I was never in it because I met my husband when I was 17, and his grandparents had just newly retired from the store. But I love some of the stories. These are behind-the-scenes stories, more or less, by the owners and their family. For years, though, I know that reminiscing would go on about the customers because it was a close-knit kind of customer-owner relationship. But John's grandmother, Sarah, who was always there in the store with her husband, she had a problem, and that was she had a lot of energy and a lot of ambition, and she could wash those wooden floors, I understand, with no problem. But the situation was a customer, that as soon as a customer walked in, the floors were dirty. So that was a problem. Do you have customers or a clean floor? John, as a kid, has talked still today about going with his grandpa John, in a Diamond T truck, leaving Douglas Superior Street and going up to the produce markets in Milwaukee. And his dad, his grandpa being totally Italian, and the Italian people calling to him in Italian in the accents, Mr. John, Mr. John, bananas, bananas here. So that was a behind the scenes that my husband still loves to recall. And then another behind the scenes, he came up when he was just a kid, maybe probably 7 or 8. They had a big cookie box, I guess, like a dispenser, like a donut counter, but cookies. And he decided on a busy Saturday afternoon to hide under that. And then he heard the grandparents and his parents saying, well, where's that kid? Where's that kid? Until it got to the point where they were getting very upset. They could not find the kid. And then he didn't feel he should come out. But when it finally got to that they were going to have to call the police, he came out. But he was like the prodigal son because they didn't punish him. They were so glad that he was there. Then another story, the last one that I'm thinking of in our neighborhood, was Lincoln Super. Now, compared to Quadracci's, Lincoln Super was enormous. It still stands empty on State and Carlisle, but that was known too for a big meat market, big. And again, every Saturday morning, my mother, on the back of an envelope, would write out her grocery list. It was common to call in to Rose, Mrs., the owner, and Pete Fost, the employee, would deliver in the afternoon. As I think Jim said, doors didn't have to be locked. You could just assume that your groceries would be delivered, and a lot of this was on credit, I think. So, such favorites.
Not a credit card, but you had like a list in the store, like credit with the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wrote your name down and how much you owed. And
The Gianfortis are way behind. They owe us $100. No more credit for the Gianfortis. The Mercier's, they're worse.
Oh, yeah. Now, these grocery stores were famous for their giveaways or freebies or premiums, as they were officially called. And these could have been calendars, thermometers, wall-hanging pictures, cookbooks, bean pots, mixing bowls, you know, things like that.
This is what they gave away?
That's what they gave away. Now, the important thing is the store's name. They wanted that store's name to be inside your home.
And you hang this in the kitchen.
You hang it in the kitchen or any place else. Here's a few other examples here.
We'll get to that. Look at this phone number.
Yeah.
49627. Mm-hmm. Where's the rest of the phone number?
Well, Melrose was not there.
Right. That was
the prefix.
Melrose.
Oh, that's right. The prefix is missing.
The prefix is missing.
They left it off this thing.
That's how you dialed back then.
This is how old it was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when I grew up, we had Lincoln 1, Pyramid 1. Mm-hmm. We had all these different things.
Yeah.
But they printed them out on this. You knew you had to dial the first two digits. Uh-huh. This one doesn't have the first two digits.
No, anymore. No. Yeah. Uh-huh. That one is from what? Chet's grocery store?
Chet's food store.
Food store, okay. Here's an example of a calendar plate, as you can see there. That would have been given out. I think what's the date on there, Don? 1909?
The calendar date is 1909.
Right, yeah. So it was hope that you would look at that, you know, on a daily basis and see what the date is. Likewise, the thermometer here, as you can see, it was hoped that the store owner would hope that you would look at the temperature and obviously
they don't do this anymore.
No. It's probably too expensive.
I don't have my pick and save plate or my festival food store plate hanging up.
You could put it on your wall, Don. Darn it.
Here's another example. A grocery store bag, the store that Carol mentioned, Grimmel's.
Why don't you take this from me because I don't like anything.
Yeah. But it served two purposes. They wanted to get the store's name inside your home, and it was a thank you for the better customers. Now, some of the more expensive items, like your bean pots and mixing bowls, casserole dishes, they were very expensive, of course, to hand out to everybody. So they would probably give them to the very best customers maybe around Christmas time or so.
Well, and in all fairness, today you get the plastic bags with this supermarket on there, pick and save bags. I mean, they do print them on there.
You could hang that on your wall if you wanted that.
Yeah, right. The pick and save plastic bags.
That would look
right
really
above
nice.
Right above your couch.
Yeah.
The sad part is you throw them out as soon as you take the groceries out of them.
That's right.
Yeah. But these you save. Okay. Yes, you saved them anyway.
Somebody did. Yeah. We have some old ads here from some of the grocery stores. Tell you some of the prices back then. Here's one from Chopyak's. What do we got here? Coffee, 2 pounds for 99 cents. Strawberries, 3 pounds for $1. Is that what that says, Carol?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, here we go. Prunes for us. For some people, they're not just ordinary prunes. They're Italian prunes, and they're a 12-pound box for $1.59. Carol mentioned Polanski's on, where was
Douglas.
That?
Douglas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Coffee again. 99 cents. Mm-hmm. Strawberries, same thing. 3 pounds for $1. What else we got here?
Well, this was interesting because they, on their ad, were talking about they were open on Sundays. Some were, some weren't. They were
open
from 8 to 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's right,
on Sundays.
Yeah. Hold it right there. It's 749 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. Jim and Carol here. We have a few more minutes left, including a little jingle surprise for you coming up in a few moments. There we go. WRJN Radio. Just got a couple more minutes to download that Civic Media app, get WRJN, and ride in the spring with the keyword bike this hour. Bike. All right. 751, Jim and Carol are here, and we got a few more minutes left, so let's talk about what else you got there.
Another grocery store in Racine, they had a couple of them, was Nevin's. They were not a chain store, but they did have, maybe 5 or 6 stores in Racine. The one that we know was one on 6th Street. Now look at some of the prices here. For you cigarette smokers, 2 packs for 25 cents.
Holy mackerel.
I have no idea what they are now, but unbelievable.
They're about $6 a pack.
And Jim, I know at least one person, and I will not reveal her name, but this was very common. She was sent down Prospect Street frequently to Lincoln Super to get her parents' cigarettes.
Okay.
All you had to do was show up and say, I need cigarettes.
Well, my brother had a band. The band members, I was about 8, 9 years old, sent me down to the store to get the Camels for 29 cents a pack. They sold them to me.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
That's a little kid. They didn't care.
Yeah, no, they didn't care. They thought it was good for us anyway at the time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have Kellogg's. They've been around forever. 25 cents for cornflakes. Also, at Nevin's, it says, everything for your picnic. Bunch. Everything for your picnic. They were ready to help us with our picnics.
Mm-hmm.
Nevin's
mm-hmm.
was very popular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, next month when we appear on Don's show, we'll be talking about some of the products that you probably remember about buying at these old grocery stores. And there were quite numerous. And we remember, of course, the candy bars, the penny candy, and things like that. We'll get into that next month. But there's a few things that we'll be talking about. But first, Carol has some parting words.
Well, back to the how this really all began with Jim's collections of things from Racine, and which were the store giveaways, and the fact that I had written a story for the Journal Times called The Store. So here is how that ended, and I hope it maybe strikes our hearts with how we felt. Ours was a sad neighborhood when Willie announced that his store was closing. Even as we were in awe of the enormous Century store he and Sylvia were opening way out on Douglas Avenue. When its awnings were rolled up for the last time, our friendly neighborhood attraction at 1620 Elbert was sorely missing. Since then, however, and more often with every passing year, I am amazed to find Willie's Elbert Street store still frequently open. I simply envision a walk down Carlisle to Elbert, past Blake Avenue on a summer afternoon, to see the friendly man in the white apron welcoming me in, my mother's special note in hand. A treat is still waiting for me right in that store.
You know, and I want to mention Carol's book here, because you always get teary-eyed when you hear, especially when you read it. My wife reads your book. It's called My Heart Leads Me Home, A Daughter's Memoir. And this is based on your home on Carlisle.
Yes, the only home I grew up in, the only home we had.
And we drove past and took a picture of it, because we're reading about it, so now I want to see the actual house.
Done.
It's like going to the set of Back to the Future. You want to see the house, the movie took place in. And we're about a third of the way through, and I saw, I got teary-eyed.
Oh, done.
When you're talking about your neighbors when they were a young married couple, then they moved to Arizona, and they were an old couple, and you ruined the story by telling me they passed away, which I kind of knew. Talking about your dad, how your dad used to get on the ladder, fix the house, got too old to fix the house. And, and you know, even though I'd never lived, I didn't grow up here. I mean, everybody can relate to this, because everybody had the same dad who couldn't do these things anymore, had the neighbors who moved away. I mean,
yeah,
we all had that.
Well, I found when I wrote that book, my parents both had died just not that long ago, and the memories helped me so much. And then I'm so glad that you've been enjoying it, because it turned out, I guess, that people who read it, it's a curiosity, but it helps them remember their memories.
You want to play this commercial?
Yes, we can leave you with this commercial that I'm sure many of us remember, especially the guys out there. So.
I never put anything on my hair in my life.
Really?
No. And there were the kids saying, that's why your hair is curly. Excuse me.
Well, you don't use a Tony Home Perm or anything?
I don't use anything. Tony. I remember Tony.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, listen, this is...
Brill Cream. Who remembers this?
This is be featured especially next month.
A little dance, yes. Do you?
Here yep. We here we go.
Brill Cream, Brill Cream, Brill Cream. Brill Cream, a little dabble do ya. Brill Cream, you look so debonair. Brill Cream, the gals will all pursue ya. They'll love to get their fingers in your hair.
Get Brill Cream today in the handy unbreakable tube.
And you know what really freaks me out? They had puppets doing the stop motion puppets, and they're freaky looking. It's the kind you turn on your lights in your bedroom and you see one in the corner and you panic.
Whoa.
It's like on Seinfeld, Mr. Marbles on Seinfeld, and Jerry had to stay at Kramer's room, and he had this puppet sitting in the corner, and it was staring, and Jerry said, Seinfeld. I think it's all move.
Well, next month we will be going into all these products that we loved, and we can also envision them with the TV commercials or the radio commercials like Brill Cream. And there were other slogans that we're going to be talking about. Pepsodent, you'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush
you
your teeth.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
And then, right. Of course, we didn't realize about cigarettes in Winston. Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should.
Cigarette.
Yeah. L&M. L&M has the flavor that unlocks, has the filter that unlocks the flavor. What were we thinking back then?
And then Bosco. I love Bosco. That's the drink for me. Maybe you can find that one, because that was a song.
Well, that was also George Costanza's password to get into his ATM. That was his Bosco was his password. And he told it to this woman who was dying. So I guess I can tell you now. It turns out her last words were Bosco. And everybody's trying to figure out, what did she mean by those dying words, Bosco? It was George's password.
We'll have a sing-along next month, Don, with all these old commercials. All three of us will start singing.
Well, thank you guys for coming
in. Thank you.
Do appreciate it. You guys are always fun. Always. And people love it. And, of course, if you missed any of this, it'll be podcast. Just go to, we get Apple Podcasts, you go to WRJN.com, civicmedia.us, go to, just type in Don Rosen Show, and you'll see it after about 10 o'clock this morning. It'll be downloaded, and so you can get to hear. Also, all the other times Jim and Carol were here, they're also on the podcast. You can still hear those. Catch you guys tomorrow, 6 a.m. bright and early. So we should have a lot of fun then, too. 7:58 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed at 1400 a.m., 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM in Kenosha, a Civic Media station. Earl Ingram's coming up next.